This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham and my co-host on this podcast are talking UVA basketball. It's going to be Scott German. And, hey, we have some basketball to talk about. Not just basketball, like theoretically, hey, let's talk about this team that's going to play basketball. We've seen the 2018-2019 Virginia basketball team play. And we got a lot to break down because as much as we thought we knew about this Virginia team going into the season, we saw a lot last night that is showing us some different things. So, Scott, first off, your impressions of this UVA basketball team, having seen them play a game now?
I'm impressed, even though they got off to I think what would have to be considered at best a pretty lethargic start. I think they played with a lot of energy in the second half. It's obvious they have more offensive weapons with Clark and Key. And I think that they're not, you play in your first game without Isaiah Wilkins, Devin Hall. I didn't see a noticeable drop in defensive intensity either. So, you commented before the game that it was kind of surprising to see Key get the start. Watching him play defense, it wasn't real. As the game progressed, you began to understand why he was out there as a starter, getting a start, because he played defense very well. I didn't see a big drop off. I would have thought that maybe there was some lack of intensity maybe coming from some of the new players, but did not see that at all. Now, having said all that, still playing a Towson team that literally lost their entire offense last year. So I think their top seven scores. So this wasn't a team to be confused with ACC level competition, but still, I was still impressed with the overall intensity of the team on the defensive side of the floor.
Yeah, you scheduled that game last night for that reason. You want to ease into the schedule. And in Towson, let UVA ease into the schedule. So I talked last night, but both during on the live blog, my game column, my game story, and then my Facebook Live I did after the game about the two. You've already talked about Clark and Key a little bit. I'll start with Key. Tony Bennett has trained well. We're UVA basketball people. And so you did the same thing, Scott, it sounds like, as I did. You were watching on TV. I was in the arena. I usually just watch. I really watch like a hawk what guys do on defense, and I'll pick one guy out and I'll watch him. And so for the first few possessions last night, I watched Key defensively because I'm thinking the same thing, that we talked about, which is, hey, he's a great talent. He's obviously a great talent. A guy's projected to be an NBA draft pick eventually, but he's new to the system. It takes guys usually some time to acclimate to playing in the pack line, and what you can do defensively determines how many minutes you get. So, wow, he's starting. When we got that word about 10 minutes before tip, to be honest, I was surprised, and I wasn't the only one. It turns out after the game, one of the first things Key was asked after the game was, when did you find out you were starting? And he said, today, which meant yesterday. He found out game day that he was starting. So the team was surprised. But then, yes, when we see him play, we're not surprised. I mean, he knows what he's doing out there, and that says a lot about the young man because he's only had, he could have done some conditioning drills with the group. And some position drills over the summer, but he's only had a few weeks of practice, and he looked good. I mean, offensively, it was a low-key game for him, 7 points. He had 9 rebounds. He played 29 minutes, but defensively, yeah, he's an athlete. And so you bring him in to start, and actually, officially, if you want to call it, Virginia plays pretty positionless basketball for the most part, but he's officially in the backcourt, which means Hunter officially was the four. And the guy we thought would start in the place of Key, we thought that Mamadi Diakite would get the start. Diakite didn't play well last night. He had 2 fouls. He got on the floor after the first media timeout. 2 minutes later, he's back on the bench with 2 fouls, just like always. He's got the foul issue. He played 17 minutes last night, had 2 points, 2 rebounds. That's not acceptable for a power forward in UVA system. Kaihi Clark is the story for me. Now, so we knew Key, whether he started or played 25 minutes off the bench, he was going to play a lot. Kaihi Clark, we heard stuff in the preseason. Hey, this kid's got Tony's attention. Tony loves him. He plays defense. That all said, 25 minutes? I mean, he played enough last night to make you think he's going to be an ACC rotation player, and he looked good. He only had 4 points, but he had 6 assists, 1 turnover, and he is a pest on defense. I think I would have thought if you'd have told me going into yesterday, Scott, that Braxton Key will get the start, I would have said, okay, he's the story of the game. I think Kai Clark was the story of the game because he's a difference maker out there at 5'9 as a true freshman in this system.
Yeah, I would say that was – his play was very surprising. And I would say that with probably a little bit of both of them. Clark, you're right. That word you used was a great adjective for him, pest. He just looked like he was all over the floor. He was – I called him a spark plug. He looked like he was just the guy out there, an energizer buddy. And that's something that I don't know if he could – replicate that over a lot of minutes, but if he's going to get 17, 18, 20 minutes a game, then there's certainly no reason he can't go 100 miles an hour while he's out there, and I think that's what Tony knows. Getting back to Keith, the thing that surprised me about his start, and to me that kind of makes me think the ceiling, that there is no ceiling for him, is that if you look back to when we welcomed our last transfer into the program, Anthony Gill. He not only didn't start, he wasn't even getting minutes. He was getting mopped-up minutes pretty much for the first half of the season. So to think he can come in as a transfer and earn a starting position, that tells me that Tony really sees something in his play.
Yeah, you know, because Gil being a big coming from South Carolina, who, of course, ended up being a great player for Virginia. You know, Nigel Johnson came in as a transfer last year at guard. Now, guard's different in the system for Virginia. There's different responsibilities, and I would think all folks would agree, people who follow Virginia basketball, teams who play the pack line, your responsibilities on defense in the post. You've got the post-to-post double. You've got to hedge hard on pick and rolls. You've got to help out in so many different ways as the back line of that pack line. Yeah, he starts and he plays well defensively, and that means he's only going to get better, which is scary to say the least, given what he's asked to do out there. And I'd say this about Clark. So Scott, I mentioned to the listeners out there, Scott usually, I mean, every game we're sitting side by side. Scott's had a busy couple of weeks, so he's not able to beat the game last night. So I was in the rare position of having to text Scott, and you know, because of course we were live blogging too, and Scott was interacting with the live blog. But I felt like I better say this to Scott because I wasn't quite sure at this point early in the game, Scott, if you were watching. I had the first text I sent to you last night was, we just ran a full court press. I've been watching Tony. This is the 10th season of Tony Bennett Virginia basketball. That was the first full court press I've seen. And we didn't use it regularly last night, but I think 4 or 5 different times. And it wasn't an aggressive, it wasn't a trapping and all this stuff, full court press. But it was a full court press. And then even other times outside of the formal full court press that we used, Clark was used when he was in the game. When the ball was inbounded in the back court, he would follow his guy all the way up the court. Now, folks who watch Virginia basketball regularly know, normally our point guard defensively meets the other point guard at half court. We let them bring it up the court, and then we meet them there, and we make it hard from that point on. But so Tony Bennett sees something. Clark has changed his defensive philosophy to a degree, using full court press and then using that full court on ball pressure from a Clark. That's a wrinkle that we've never seen out of Tony Bennett teams at Virginia.
No, we haven't, but maybe it's because that Tony's now going to kind of adapt his defensive philosophy to the personnel he's got. And just, I know it's early and it's one game, but I can't really remember a player in Tony's system that really reminds me of Clark. So maybe it's Tony saying, hey, I've got these horses, I'm going to run with them, and if that's being able to employ a full court press, then that might be something we see from time to time this season.
Yeah. I mean, when you can start, I mean, because when we talked in the preseason, Scott, and our listeners out there might remember this, we talked about what we thought the starting lineup would be, and I thought it would be Hunter and Guy and Jerome and then Diakite and Salt in the front court. But then I said my death lineup. I called it my death lineup. would have Clark and, or not Clark, it would have Key and Hunter obviously on the floor at the same time, along with Guy and Jerome and maybe Diakite out there. Your most versatile lineup, you know, guys who can defend interchangeable positions, that kind of thing. Now we're starting pretty much a death lineup, and now I've got to figure out where Clark fits into that, because he played starters minutes last night. I mean, you look at the minutes played last night, he played 25. That was fifth on the team. We had Guy play 32, Key played 29, Jerome played 29, Hunter played 26. Clark played 25 minutes, and so, you know, whoever starts, you know, there are guys on the floor at important minutes, and those are your most important guys. And at least for last night, Clark was one of those five guys. And so, and then Salt got 15. I mentioned Diakite had 17. Huff had 8. We'll talk about Huff in a second. I was glad to see he got 8 minutes. He did better in the second half than he did in the first half. But yeah, this is a team with interesting weapons. I mean, you got a 5'9 guy in Clark who can be a defensive pest. I guess I'll talk about Huff now. You've got a 7'1 guy who had a 3-pointer last night, who also had an alley-oop dunk, and he struggled defensively a couple times. That's why he got lifted in the first half. He played a minute and 46 seconds in the first half. He gave up 2 offensive rebounds, threw a bad pass to Jack Salt, got lifted. Second half, he played better. So you've got weapons that we've never seen a Tony Bennett team have before. And last night, Towson, they're not going to be good. So don't get too excited about the margin of victory. I'm not excited about the margin of victory. I'm excited about seeing the potential of this team. The potential of this team is as good or better in my mind after just one game. So I'll temper my expectations. But I think that what I saw last night gives me a glimpse of a future that can be very, very bright for this team this year.
Well, it was also good just to get a game under the belt, out of the way, and start moving forward a little bit from last March. I think the team needed that. A couple of the players alluded to that. That they just, it was just nice to play a game. I know they played an exhibition or a close scrimmage against Villanova earlier, but that's not quite the same to going out and playing in front of a crowd. And to hear, and a great crowd, supportive crowd. I think the crowd that was also anxious to get a game under their belt and kind of turn the page from the disaster that we witnessed last March in Charlotte. One observation that I saw, and I don't know if you noticed it or not, but for the two of us that kind of look at all these little nuances, what was up with Tony not wearing a tie? And also he appeared much more, just a lot less tight in the press conference. I know it was a 31-point win. It's easy to beat. But he was laughing. He made a comment to the AD, Eric, about he would have to have the UNBC game on the TV in the press media room. So he just appeared to be just a little less on edge last night, and the tie was, the absence of a tie was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, you know, we have to wonder, the speculation, you know, Jerry Ratcliffe, a good friend of ours, actually sister website, jerryratcliffe.com, pushed that. We've been helping him with that website and subscribe and get some of Jerry's insights. I get to read Jerry's stories first, and I posted a story last night. He wrote about that very topic, actually, Scott, about Tony being so relaxed, which was a shock to Jerry, too, because Jerry knows him pretty well after all these years of covering him up close. And Jerry speculated that without knowing for sure, but, you know, Craig Littlepage famously enforced that rule, hey, you're a basketball coach at UVA, you got to wear a tie. Tony didn't like wearing a tie before, but he got hired at Virginia, and he's been wearing a tie for 9 years. Maybe Carla Williams, the new AD, is saying, hey, I'd rather you just go win games and be relaxed and have to wear a tie. And that's a little thing in the big scheme. But, yeah, he seemed to be, obviously, a little different about that. But, you know, Jerry noticed, too, though. Jerry pointed out in his column that during the game, Tony seemed, even for a game against a Towson, a team that you should beat, and it's the first game of the season and all that kind of stuff, it's November, it's not March, not April. That Tony during the game seemed to be a little more focused than you see maybe in November games of this nature. So, you know, maybe he's learning to compartmentalize that stuff, because Because, yeah, Tony can be very, you know, after games, he can be very, it's not like he's aloof or standoffish, but, you know, you can tell he doesn't like dealing with the media. It's just, it's part of the job. He doesn't like it. It's not like he doesn't like people. He just doesn't like that part of the job. He's not there to be a spokesperson for himself. A lot of coaches are. He's not. And so, but last night, yeah, he was more at ease. So, I don't know, because, you know, I'm not at ease. I mean, hell, I hate it when people ask me about UMBC. And I'm not Tony Bennett. I'm not one of those players who put heart and soul into that season last year. And so for him to have that kind of a feel is a great sign for him personally because, I mean, that outside of, like, actual life and death matters, I mean, from a sports perspective, that's about as hard of a situation to have to go through. He's going to have to answer that question literally all the rest of his coaching career. And for him to have adopted the approach of, you know what, it's just a game in that context. Let's enjoy it and let's enjoy this process after the games, these media things. That's probably a good thing for him personally because that allows him to put his focus on the court in those 40 minutes. Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that, you know, the Tony Bennett that we see in the press room is, you're right. I think he looked at the press. It's just an unnecessary evil, maybe, part of his job. I think he'd much rather be with his team, much rather be back with his coaches, turning the page, going on to the next game. He's got that type of mentality, but he just looked very loose last night. And maybe that's just kind of a carryover from the way he handled himself immediately after one of the most devastating losses in college basketball history, probably, that he suffered. In Charlotte last year. Maybe it's just kind of a carryover of that is that he's going to reflect that and try to instill that in the team that, you know, hey, that was last year. This is this year. Just a different mentality, different attitude. I liked it. I didn't see – I liked seeing Tony. He was still very dressed very well. And you're right. Maybe – I haven't read Jerry's article, but maybe – That's the Carla Williams is okay with that, and it's not a big deal how he dresses or not. He can dress in it. He can be Bobby Knight dressing it, trainer's outfit if he wants. So, but I think we're going to start seeing a lot of little tiny changes that maybe the average fan doesn't notice. But I think we're going to see it because we follow the program so closely. And it's going to be fun to observe it and to report on it this year.
Yeah, I'm going to put my armchair psychoanalyst hat on, and this is dangerous, but I'm going to put it on because I mentioned, you know, a couple minutes ago, like outside of what actual life and death matters, what Virginia basketball went through last March is the in a way an equivalent of a sort of sports death. I mean, that's the worst thing. I don't know if I can put it in any other terms. That's the biggest upset in sports history, and Virginia endured it. And so maybe the approach, you know, think about what you know about people who've had near-death experiences, actual, you know, life and death near-death experiences. For most people who've gone through a near-death experience, they'll tell you, you know, they come to appreciate life more. And it for a lot of those folks, it relaxes them. You know, we all go around with this worry about dying, and then when you've almost died, when you face death down like that and you live through it, You that fear goes away. So it could be something here with this program. I mean, with Tony and starting all the way down, the guys who experienced this last year, you know what? We've gone through the worst thing sports-wise, not life-wise, but we've gone through the worst thing sports-wise we could possibly ever go through. If we lose this game, if we lose next week, we're still here. You know, so if you've done the worst to us you can do, you know, you're playing with house money. I mean, maybe that's what we saw last night out of this team. They certainly, I mean, from a basketball X's and O's perspective last night, 13 minutes to go, we're still beating Towson by 9 points. You know, that game still felt in the arena a little tight. The Virginia guys didn't play that way. They played like they're Virginia guys, and they just went out and did their job. So, I don't know. So I'll take the hat back off, but I wonder if that's the case, if maybe they've gone through the worst thing they can go through and throw it the rest of it at them. They don't care anymore.
Yeah, and they probably overcame it as players quicker than we as fans, as the media, quicker than we did because, you know, I'm not saying we suffered worse than any of the UVA fans last year, but I know it was pretty tough for us because we fought this team home and away, up close, behind the curtain, so to speak, and we know how devastating of a loss it was. We went through it. But to see how well they turned the pace, to see how they handled it, to see how their coach handled it, and to see last night, I think, was just a little bit of a glimpse of what's going to happen this season. They've moved on to that, and hopefully we as fans, as media, can move on too, just as well.
Yeah, the thought popped in my head last night. We've got to talk about that topic, so hopefully we can address it here, maybe move on from it for the rest of the season too. But the thought occurred to me last night as Virginia was building finally that bigger lead and the game got to be comfortable and that kind of thing. And if the thought finally popped in my head, you know what? I'm finally over UMBC because I was very nervous last night. I mean, the first play of the game, some kid for Towson hits a three-pointer with a hand in his face. And they're wearing black and gold or black and yellow uniforms. And they're from Baltimore County, Maryland. So all of a sudden, you know, they hit a three. I saw this happen. It's kind of like post-traumatic stress disorder. We're going through it again. Every time, and until that stretch, you know, late in the game where we broke it open, every time Virginia would get a 12, 13-point lead, they'd hit a couple baskets, it'd be back down to eight. Like, come on, man. Let's just get this thing over with here. Let's get the jitters out here. The jitters were on our part, though. The kids were already working through it. But, yeah, from a fan's perspective, I mean, yeah. And I'm sure if there are fans out there listening to this who totally understand how stupid this is, but also how true it is, that it was for us as fans, it's tough. I mean, you know, I saw a video online this week of UMBC putting up a banner commemorating its win over Virginia. You know, they put up a banner in their arena, and I got pissed off. I mean, you know, it brought those memories back. I mean, it's stupid to say, but it's also true, and I'm not the only person who can say this, but I had bad dreams for weeks after that game last year. I've lost both my parents in the last few years. I struggled with this worse than I struggled with that because, you know, this was so unexpected, I guess, maybe. I don't know, but, you know, it's so, yeah, the last night for me, I didn't think I would be able to say this. I thought I would carry this stupid burden all the way through to March, and then I'd still be worried in March. And last night, I actually enjoyed a UVA basketball game. And yes, I think I'm better now. So maybe last night was good for all of us in that respect.
Yeah, you're right. And the players put it behind a lot. Of course, they've been playing off in practice. They've had diversions. We haven't. We've had to wait for them. But what kept going through my mind early on is, you know, if you lose a game like that to begin the season, that things like that happen. Where a mid-major team will upset, catch someone off guard, just sneak up on them first game of the season. But, man, how the similarities, UMBC, Towson, they're from the same county. They're 12 miles apart. I think I responded to one of your blogs. UMBC, Towson, not to be confused with UNC and Duke, also about 12 miles apart. But that was just those little things that go through our minds as rabid sportsmen, and that we don't have anything. We don't have those diversities that the players do. The off-season, the conditioning, the pickup games, they put that out of their mind real quick. But we needed that game last night to move. We needed that game to be able to turn the page.
Yeah, and I was able to snarkily note in one of my game columns that now Virginia improves to 1-1 in its last two games against teams from Baltimore County, Maryland. But, you know, we've got to have fun with it, obviously, you know, as much as because we have to. You just have to stare it down. And obviously the guys did, the coaching staff did. And it's hard to follow their example. You're right, Scott. They get to play. They get to coach. They get to practice. Fans, it's really hard being a fan because you don't get to do any of that stuff. You don't control anything. You're watching, your hope is there, and then you're just nervous. So, but yeah, I think last night, and it was a great crowd last night. You know, they did the typical UVA things. They applauded shot clock violations. They got loud when it was 10 seconds left on the shot clock. They cheered for Jay Huff. They loved Kaihi Clark. Ty Jerome made 6 threes. He was hot as a firecracker there for a good stretch of the second half. Fans smiled when he had a big grin on his face after his 6 three-pointer. It was good. It was cathartic. And now we can go out. We have George Washington on Sunday, which should be a tough game because George Washington's a pretty good program consistently. It's basketball is back, and for me, Scott, I mean, I love the fact that just generally basketball is back, and I like this team. You know, we've gotten into a groove, Scott, as guys who follow this program and analyze this program. I like that there's new guys and new things that they're doing. I love that Clark brings a full court press. I love that Key is a transfer that is already ready to start and play lots of minutes. And, you know, we've got Guy and Jerome back, and let's see what they can do one more year to get better and that kind of thing. So, and Hunter, of course, is DeAndre Hunter. He'll be the best draft pick we've had since Ralph Sampson when he finally goes out, whether it's next year or sometime in the next couple of years. So I just love that we have all this now to talk about because, you know, fans, you get to listen, and thank you for listening, but, man, so November, December, January, February, March, 5 months, Scott, 5 months, we get to consume ourselves with a pretty awesome thing like this. I think I've consumed Scott so much that I've apparently bedazzled him. I think I've lost Scott on the phone here. Is he still there, Scott? I don't think Scott. I think I've lost Scott briefly here, so that might be our sign as I talk about how great. I was waxing philosophic and poetic about how great it is that we get to enjoy. And we do. It is a great thing. I think this is a great time of year. And this time of year being November, December, January, February, March. That's a long part of the year to have a great time of the year. That's a great enjoyment for us as UVA basketball fans. A filibuster, Scott, didn't get back on the line, so we were probably wrapping up anyway. So let's go ahead and sign off for this podcast. Now, we've got a lot more coming up this week. Of course, UVA plays Liberty in football on Saturday. We've got the UVA George Washington basketball game on Sunday. A lot of UVA sports coming your way. And check out AugustaFreePress.com. Also, go to our sister website. I call it the sister website, JerryRatcliffe.com. Jerry and all his great stuff. Check out Jerry as well. For Scott German, I'm Chris Graham signing off. Wahoo wah.